Thank you for listening to the Alliance Church podcast. We desire to connect you with God and one another, whether here in Wisconsin or around the world. Let's listen into this week's message.
Good morning, church. How are we doing this morning? We're here, we're live, we've had enough coffee, we're healthy-ish. Hey, listen, I was in a bad mood when I woke up this morning, but God wasn't. He still loved me. It's good news. You ever been in a bad mood? You ever let that affect how you view or how you interact with God? I think we all tend to do that. My question this morning is, how should you pray when you don't feel like it? Like, how should you interact with God when you feel gloomy or glum or Eeyore-ish, when you're bummed out or miserable or melancholy, right? When you're down in the dumps? We got a lot of expressions for this. It must be a common experience. When you're heavy-hearted, when you feel blue, when you're just not a happy camper. And then you add on top of that, you know, things like anger and fear and disappointment and doubt and annoyance and maybe a little bit of exhaustion. And it'll lead you feeling despondent, dejected, depressed, dismal, downcast, dour, long-faced, wretched, joyless, and even mirthless. That's right, mirthless. Like fresh out of mirth. What do you... How are we supposed to interact with God when we just not when we don't feel like it? And you might not say this out loud. You might not say it this clearly, but I bet there's something in you that feels like there are certain emotions that are acceptable to God and others that aren't. And I bet that affects how you interact with God. You probably wouldn't actually say the words like, okay, it's okay to pray when I feel this way, but not when I feel that way. But I bet that subtle belief is down there somewhere. And I'm willing to bet that it kind of dictates how you interact with God. And even if you don't say it out loud, it might play out something like this. Interacting with God in whatever form, maybe prayer, maybe worship, maybe coming to church, maybe reading the Bible, whatever the form may be, interacting with God might come somewhat easily when you're happy, when you're encouraged, when the sun is shining. It's not too hard to engage with God. But then the clouds roll in, and the fog, maybe a little bit of darkness, and I'm willing to bet that you tend to retract relationally from God. And that's a problem. Now, it means two things. One, it means you're normal, because if everyone in this room feels that same way, there's something to it. But the other thing it means is that we need help. If it's a problem because if we only pray when we feel like it, that means that we won't pray when we need God the most. Does that make sense? Like if I only pray when I feel like it, that means I don't pray when I need to pray, when I need God the very most. Like if I only pray when I'm like super happy and I feel like I've been super well behaved and I'm super in love with God. Right there, I've created a life where 95% of my existence is prayer free. And that's not good. We need God in the dark places more than any. And God loves to be there for us when we need him most. That's the type of God he is. I mean, you can't read this book without seeing time after time after time after time again where God is there for his people when they need him the most. And God says things like, I will be there for you when you need me the most. This book calls God a very present help in trouble. Right? The Hebrews talks about a God who is a very present help in times of need. So we got to learn how to pray even when we don't feel like it. And this is exactly what the author of Psalm 43 wrote about. And this psalm has been, I've found to be the most helpful psalm of all the psalms in my life. I discovered this psalm shortly after my dad died of cancer. It was a dark, dark season. And then about a year later, my you could call him my spiritual dad, like my mentor, my pastor, just kind of this rock solid older brother I had. He also died quickly from cancer. It was a hard, dark time. And I had to learn that worship isn't only for sunny days. I had to learn that worship was also for cloudy days. But not just that I need to do it. I need to learn how to do it. I'm still learning that. I think I'll be learning that for the next 50, 60 years, you know, by the grace of God. It's not helpful to tell someone to do something without showing them how to do it. And song, right, that only frustrates people. When you say, do this, right, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, Philippians 4:4. When you say, do that, it's good, but we need to know how to do it, or else it just gets frustrating. And this psalm is an example of a guy who's struggling. He's got interpersonal conflict. It's affecting his emotions and his circumstances. What he's experiencing is affecting his emotions, and then his emotions are affecting his faith, his relationship with God. And I love in this prayer, there's so much I love in this prayer, this psalm. So but I love the way he starts where he's at, but he doesn't stay where he's at. He moves from there. And so I'm going to read it, and I want you to see that. I want you to see the way this guy, he doesn't feel like praying. He doesn't feel like worshiping. He doesn't feel like interacting with God, but he starts right where he's at, but he doesn't stay there. I want you to see that he moves deeper. He starts kind of superficial, but he moves deeper. And he starts kind of me-centered, and then he moves toward being God-centered. It's just a good prayer. So listen, Psalm 43 here. I'm gonna read it, and then let's pray together that God would help us ingest this psalm in a way that would actually change how we interact with God when we don't feel like it. Psalm 43. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. Would you pray with me, church? God, we so need to know how to move through the fog of life and back into your presence. We need to know that emotions and worship are not mutually exclusive. We need to know how to get from point A to point B when we don't feel like it. So God, would you help us as we dive into this psalm? Would you help us to learn? Would you show us how? Would this be helpful in people's day-to-day experience of you? And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this psalm is attributed to the sons of Korah. It was a tribe within the tribe of the Levites, the priests, and they were often charged with various priestly functions, but one of them a lot of time was the liturgy and the music and so on. But what you need to understand is that the author here, from the context, is experiencing interpersonal conflict. And unless you're going to live in a cave for the rest of your life, you experience interpersonal conflict too. And it is impossible, unless you're an absolute narcissist, to experience interpersonal conflict and have it not affect your emotions. There's a reason when you butt heads with someone afterwards, it bothers you. And that's what's happening here. This psalm actually is one with Psalm 42. Psalm 42 and 43, they go together. And what it is, it's like in a modern rock song where there's like verse and then a chorus and then a verse and a chorus and a verse and a chorus. It's kind of like that. And the chorus of this, or the refrain of this song or this poem, is verse 5. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you at turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation, my God. That's the chorus. That's the when the band's big and loud, and that's the whole point of the song. And then the other verses are like, they're like the verses of the song. And so what I want to do is move one verse at a time. And I want you to see how this man interacts. First of all, verse 1, he starts off, vindicate me. Vindicate me. Defend my cause against an ungodly people from the deceitful and unjust man. Deliver me. You notice the me-centeredness of this prayer? You notice this prayer? He starts off talking about his circumstances, what's going on around him. Do you notice that he just starts where he's at? Do you think this is a good prayer? Do you think it's a bad prayer? Like, what if you're going to give this prayer a letter grade? How would you grade the prayer of verse 1? Go ahead. It's all right. What's that? This guy gives it an A. I would give it maybe a B+. It's an okay prayer. It's not a bad prayer. Here's what I like about it, is that he's actually praying. But also, it doesn't take a born-again believer who loves God more than anything else to want this. Right? Like even the Chicago Bears want this, and we all know that they're not Christians. Like they want success. Right? Satan wants success in the face of his adversaries. Right? Vladimir Putin would have no problem praying this right now. It doesn't take a saint to pray this prayer. That's why I say it's an okay prayer. But what I like about it is that the guy just starts where he's at with what he's got going on. And you'll notice, though, that he doesn't stay where he's at. Verse 2, he's going to move inward. Right? He moves from his circumstances to his soul. Moves from what's going on outside to what's going on inside. Verse 2, he says, for you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? You notice the way he feels doesn't line up with what he knows? He's got sort of a head-heart conflict. You ever feel that way? Where you it's sort of the, I believe, would you help me believe? Kind of divided heart. You're the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Now, he knows God hasn't rejected him. He's literally praying. You don't pray to gods that you think have rejected you. He's doing business with God. He feels like God has rejected him. That's the deep feeling. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning? Now he's getting real here. I love this prayer. This is getting better. Why do I go about mourning? And that word mourning has it's used elsewhere in the Hebrew Bible to mean black clouds, darkening, blackening, gloomy. You get the feeling what he's expressing, the soul gloom. He's saying, why am I living in a place of soul gloom again? Because of the oppression of my enemies. You hear that? He's like, why am I again letting what's going on out there affect what's going on in here? He's getting real. It's getting to him, and I don't think the guy wants to live there. And so now he's gone from outward to inward, but now he's going to move Godward. Verse 3, It's going to get even better, his prayer. See how it deepens. He says, send out your light and your truth. That's so appropriate. You think about what that word mourning means, that haze of the soul. How much do you need light? That's what you need in that moment. God, I need your light. Because I can't see. I was at Kohl's yesterday. I went in, it was sunny. I came out, and there was this ominous gray, what's going on? And it affected me on the inside. And then I'm driving home. It's like a 2-3 minute drive to my house. The rain hits so hard, everyone slows way down and wipers are going full speed and they just can't even keep up. You can't see hardly in front of you. Right? When you get in that place emotionally with God, you need light and you need truth because you can't see and you don't know what to believe. How often do you find yourself in a place where you've just like, you're so in an emotional funk that you go, God, I don't even know what's true anymore. I don't even know which way's up. I don't know what to believe about you. I don't know what to believe about myself. I don't know what to believe about anything. Why am I here? Send out your light and your truth. This is a good prayer. And what does he want? What does he want God's light and truth to do specifically? He says, let them lead me. You hear that? He's moved from vindicate me to lead me. This prayer gets better as he goes. He's moved from fix the stuff out there that's going wrong to God, help me in here and lead me. Bring me where? Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. The imagery is of Jerusalem on a hill, and there's the temple there, and that's the place of God's presence. That's the place of God's, God, where you worship God. And he's specifically saying, God, would you help me get back to your presence? He's not asking God to fix anything. He just wants God. He's not asking for stuff. He's not asking for service. He's just asking for God. He's saying, God, everything else is failing, but I want you. I want you. I want you. I want to be with you, and I want to know you. This is a good prayer. And what will happen if, God, if you help me to be able to see and know what to believe, and lead me back in your presence, what's going to happen? Verse 4. Then I will go to the altar of God. Then it's going to happen. You know what happens at the altar? Worship happens at the altar. The altar is the place in the temple where the sacrifice, the good thing, the life, the blood is laid down and presented to God. You ever read Leviticus? There's a lot of blood. And it all shouts, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, the perfect sacrifice. And because he's the perfect sacrifice, we can live our lives like a sacrifice. Romans 12:1. Memorize that verse. Present your bodies as living sacrifices. He's saying, God, get me out of this funk and through this funk and into the place I can worship you despite this funk. Do you follow his logic here? They didn't have the word funk in Hebrew, but I'm sure it works. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. They don't even know how to translate this. This joy beyond joy. This steady, unwavering, perfect source of joy. By God, my exceeding joy, what that means is God, my only true joy. My only trustworthy joy. God, the source that will not change. fail. Everything else is going to fail. Anything else that gives you joy in this life can eventually fail. Your fishing pole will fail. The Traeger, it'll fail. Your health will fail. Your career will fail. Your little girl might fail you one day. But God is a source of exceeding joy. And this guy just wants God. He says, God, I just want to find my ultimate happiness in you and you alone. I want the type of trust in you that I could be in a prison cell starving to death and I'd still have everything because I've got you. That's a good prayer. He says, and I'll praise you with the lyre. That's an instrument. He's going to rock out for the Lord again. It's going to happen. He doesn't feel like playing music, but he's going to do it again. He knows, man, God, you're going to get me through this, and I'm going to worship you again. And then finally, in verse 5, we get to the chorus of the song, like what the whole song's designed to do. And now you notice that up until this point, he has talked to God about his soul. But now he's going to talk to his soul about God. You follow that? Verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall, not might, I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Do you see this guy? He just grabs himself by the lapels and says, why are you here again? What's going on with you? Why are you at turmoil within me? This is the same author that wrote Psalm 46:10, and it says, be still and know that I am God. And that turmoil is the opposite of being still. It's the opposite of that peace, that deep peace that can come through trusting the fact that God has got you. And he says, why? And we got to do this. Do you hear? He commands his soul. He tells his soul. He doesn't say, soul, you should probably hope in God. He says, hope in God. That's an imperative. He says, do this, soul. I know you're down in the dumps, soul, but God isn't. He hasn't failed. I got to do this. You got to preach the gospel to your own soul. I got to do this. So often, my emotions get the best of me far more often than I get the best of them, okay? So I got to grab myself from time to time by the lapels and say, come on, Hillstead soul, hope in God. Remember who he is. Why are you living there? Why are you stewing in this place again? Come on, God, he ain't going to let you down. Hope in God, Hillstead soul. We got to preach the gospel to ourselves. Okay, so how should you pray when you don't feel like it? This isn't a one-size-fits-all, but it's a good example to follow. Does that make sense? This isn't a magic algorithm that if you just recite these words, everything is going to be great. It's an example to follow, all right? So how should you pray when you don't feel like it? Here's the three takeaways I want you to remember. Start where you're at. Just start wherever you're at, start where you're at. But don't stay where you're at. Move inward and Godward and preach the gospel to your own soul. Okay, start where you're at. Just pray about your circumstances. If they're bugging you, pray about them. That's a good thing. He gave it an A. I gave it a B minus. It's a good thing. You get diagnosed with something hard, pray, and it's bugging, pray. Your boss a jerk? It's making your life miserable. Pray about it. This guy did. You're nervous about your finances? Pray about them. You got a relationship that isn't working? Pray about it. Start where you're at. But don't stay where you're at forever. Start where you're at, but don't stay where you're at. Move, first of all, move inward. Like, be honest about with God about what's going on inside you. This is really important. We need to learn how to do this. I'm not from the Midwest, but something I'm learning about us Midwesterners is we're not super good with the deep stuff. And that's not totally congruent with what I read about in here, the experience of the men and women of God in this book. They get real with God. So be honest. If your experiences are affecting your emotions, talk to God about them. Ask questions. I love this guy asked a question. He says, God, why am I here again? Can you help me know why I go about mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? Ask questions. You feel like God's letting you down? Talk to him about it. You feel that way? Talk to him about it. Ask him why that is. This guy did. So I think that gives us permission to do the same. You feel confused? Feel rejected? You feel doubtful? Feel just like you just need a nap? God's not surprised by any of that, okay? You can open up to God about what's on the inside, the good, the bad, and the ugly. In fact, we need to. But, so you start where you're at, but you don't stay where you're at. You move inward, but you don't stay there either. After you've gone inward and you've opened up your soul stuff, don't stop there. Pray verse 3, right? Ask God for light. Ask God for truth. Ask him to help you understand. Ask God to help you know what to believe. And most importantly, ask God to lead you back to himself. Does that make sense? So start where you're at. Don't stay where you're at. Move inward, but then move Godward too. God, I want you. God, I want you to be with me. God, I want to be with you. God, I want to be in your presence. God, I want to know you. These are good prayers. Okay. God, will you lead me back into your presence? That's a good prayer. I think God loves answering that. And then finally, preach the gospel to yourself. It's important to regularly remind yourself of the unshakable hope that we have in Christ. The unshakable hope. That hope that will never put us down, will never leave us ashamed. That hope that will come through. That hope that no matter what I've got going on out here or what I've got going on in here, that hope that I have in Christ is steady and trustworthy. Preach the gospel to yourself. Musicians, if you'd like to come back up, we're going to sing a song that is actually speaking to our souls. Kind of like in Psalm 43, this song actually tells our soul what to do. So start where you're at, don't stay where you're at. Move inward and Godward, preach the gospel to yourself. And if you do this, it's not going to fix everything. It's not going to take all the clouds away. It'll just help you get through the clouds. But if we learn how to do this, if you learn how to do this, you'll grow into the type of child of God who can worship. Like no matter what's going on, you can worship. No matter what's going on around you, no matter what's going on in you, you can worship. And not like being fake, not as a pretender, but one who has learned how to pray through the fog and to find their way back into the presence of God. And if you do that, you won't just benefit yourself. You won't just benefit your own quality of life and your own experience of faith in God, but you'll bring others along with you. You'll help others. Like, in the same way that fake Christians kind of make fake Christians, that real soul Christians, people who develop the spiritual grit to grind through the hard and dark stuff back into the presence of God, they always seem to help other people do the same. People who learn how to pray through the gloom and into the presence of God tend to bring others with them. And that's who I want to be. I assume that's who you want to be. That's who we want to be. We all do this, and we'll be a church that genuinely helps people get through the hard stuff. Amen? Start where you're at. Don't stay where you're at. Move inward and Godward. Preach gospel to yourself. My challenge to you this week is whatever the hard stuff is, would you read Psalm 43? Whatever the hard stuff you're going through right now, would you read Psalm 43? And then would you just pray through it, following the example of Psalm 43? Would you do that, church?